Father God, thank you so much for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Father, I pray for a special anointing this morning that, Lord, as I speak, that your Holy Spirit would take it to every heart, that it would make sense, Lord, that it would help us to open up our eyes to what's going on around us, Lord. May we be attentive to what you have to say to us this morning. We pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All the little ones making their way back. I've kind of, the last 2 weeks, you know, two weeks ago we talked about God's love and how much God loves you. Last week I talked about putting the past in the past, and I've tried to be real positive, upbeat. The last 2 weeks I felt like you all have needed some encouragement, and I hope the message has brought that. I don't know if this week's going to be encouraging. I've just had something on my mind. It's been on my mind for several weeks. I think it's something pretty obvious to most of us believers. But what I want to talk a little bit about is, to begin with, and then we're going to go into something else, is how easily we are distracted. When we were in Yellowstone this summer for vacation, we had just went into the entrance, and we weren't but a few miles in, and we saw a pretty little waterfall. And so we got out, and there's still mounds of snow, and we're kind of walking over the snow and everything, and we're looking at this little waterfall and everything, and it was kind of getting cold. And so me and Madeline went and got back in the car, and Crystal was talking to Hayden, and she goes to the car next to us and begins to open up the door with a lady sitting in the front seat of this car, thinking that she was getting in our car. And the lady looked at her like, "What's wrong with you, woman?" You know, the lady was really nice, though, and she said, "Oh, Crystal laughed. She's like, "Whoops, I'm getting into the wrong vehicle." The bad thing was, is it was an SUV, and we got a car, so it was like, it wasn't even close to the right. I think it might have been the same color, but I'm not for sure, you know, but the lady was real nice, and she said, "Oh, I thought maybe you wanted me to take a picture of you and your family or something," you know. She didn't realize Crystal was trying to get in the car, but it's funny how she was talking to Hayden and how distracted she became that she went to get into the wrong vehicle. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm distracted a lot in life. I was sharing with Tim, I don't remember if it was last Sunday or Wednesday, but different things, issues going on in my life and how distracted I've been. It's not necessarily bad things, but my mind keeps going to things of this world. My mind keeps going to different problems, different things at work, and I'm having a hard time with the Lord because my mind keeps going to all these other things. And it made me think, you know, how distracted we can become in life. And if you were in Sunday school, you've already heard this verse, but 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." So the main thing that I want to get out of that is following deceiving spirits. And I was thinking of how we can be so distracted in our life with good things. Your children, work. I'm glad you guys work in here. Praise the Lord you guys work, you know. And I'm glad that you guys have families and that you have people that love you and you love people. And you know, all those things are good things, but how we can get distracted by those things, even good things sometimes, and if we're not careful, we can start being deceived. And it says that in the latter times, some's going to follow those deceiving spirits. And I think I'm beginning to see all this happen around us with people beginning to follow deceiving spirits. And I'm asking myself, "Lord, what's going on with this person? They don't even look like the same person anymore. They don't even act like the same person anymore. And they were so solid. What's taking place?" Luke 21, verse 34 says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxiety of life, that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." The main two things that I want to get out of there, it says be careful and always be on the watch. See, the thing is when you're distracted, you're not being very careful usually. When I get in a hurry at work, that's when I make a mistake because I'm distracted by trying to hurry. I remember one time a few years ago, I was in a hurry. It was Friday and I dropped out my trailer and I thought I'd unhooked everything and I took off and all at once I heard pop, and I went, and I knew exactly what it was. I forgot to unhook my air lines, and that thing stretched out so far, and it come flying back and hit the back of my truck. And I went, oh no, I got to do an accident report. I looked back there, and there was nothing damaged. Even the airline didn't break. But I went in, and I told my boss, because I thought, what if, you know, what if there's something wrong? And he said, and why did you do that? I said, I was in a hurry because it's Friday and I'm ready to go home. I was distracted. I was already thinking about heading home instead of taking care of business. Y'all, sometimes we get so distracted with life. We get so distracted with things and we're not careful. We're not watching for how the enemy is creeping into our lives, how the enemy is creeping into our homes, how the enemy is leading us astray. Mark 18 says, "Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." You think about that. How many of us, that describes our life, the worries of this life? I know for a fact we got a lot of worriers in here. I've heard you talk. I see it in your life. And you know what? This guy worries too much too. Things grab hold of me and I begin to worry. My kids don't call. They're not where they're supposed to be or something. And I begin to worry and these thoughts begin to rush into my head. What if? What if? It's stupid. Do I help anything? No, but I begin to worry. I begin to worry about this. And I begin to worry about that. And it says the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, that's a big one with Americans today is the desire for things and the desires for more. And, you know, I preached on that years ago about the size of a house built in like the 60s. I think the average size of a house was like 1,300 square foot with one bathroom. And now the average size house is like 22 or 25, I can't remember. It's been several years since with 3.5 bathrooms or something like that. And it's like there's more bathrooms than there's occupants of houses now being built, you know? And it's like, well, what's going on? We've got to be careful that we don't become distracted by these things. And I'm not telling y'all to not have nice things. Just keep it in perspective. You know, God blessed some of the men in the Bible with great wealth, with great riches. But understand that the Lord should be in control of your life, not the things of this world being in control. And so often that's what happens. And the desire for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. We're distracted by the things of the world, and all at once the fruitfulness of the Word of God is no longer taking place in our lives. How easy is it for us to become distracted by life and in that the world's choking out? Okay, so what I want to talk to you about is about what's going on in the world today, okay? And I think many of us were so distracted by life, so distracted by things, even good things. But I believe that we're living in last days, maybe even last moments. You guys might say, Pete, you're crazy. I think that there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and I don't usually preach end time Bible prophecy. I usually don't preach about things like that. But There's so much going on in the world right now, and I just feel like I need to talk about it, and we need to not be distracted with the things of this world and miss what's going on around us. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to be reading a few verses there. I'm in the wrong spot right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, not chapter 4. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves." I don't know if you guys have looked around lately, but is not everybody lovers of themselves? I mean, we teach our children, we want them to have self-esteem. We want them to love themselves. And self-esteem is a good thing, but it's almost like we've gone so far now that everybody, look at me. Here's a picture of me. Here's a snap of me. Here's a Facebook of me and my life. And I'm so wonderful and I'm so great. And I'm the center of the universe. That's a sign of end times. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. We don't have to even talk about that. Okay? Is that not obvious? I mean, I've confessed. It's something I struggle with. Wanting more, wanting more, wanting this, wanting that. And it's a battle inside of me. Boastful. That goes right back to lovers of themselves and the boastfulness of the pictures and the snaps and the Facebook and all this junk and talking and how boastful we are about our lives. Proud. Abusive. You think, well, abusive, huh? It's terrible. It's terrible what's really taking place in our world. The way that parents are abusing their children now, the way that things that are unimaginable to me that's taking place in our society today. The abuse that's taking place. Disobedient to their parents. Oh my goodness. If you guys are around little kids very much, you walk through Walmart, you see it. In the disrespect and the way that children act towards their parents. And you know what? And it's not just those little kids, it's you grown-ups too. The way that we treat our parents when we get older. We're still supposed to be obedient. We're still supposed to take care of our parents. Ungrateful. You know, do you guys see ungratefulness? You can say yes or no. Do y'all see that today? You know, I remember when I first started working at FedEx. It was American Freightways 19 years ago. And I remember they would cook us hamburgers or do something for us, you know, and how everybody was just so excited and they were happy about it. You know, the last couple times that they've cooked, you know what I've heard? This is cheap. This ain't no good. There was one guy and he started chewing out the boss. Like, where'd you get this garbage from? You know, this is a nice gesture by FedEx trying to cook for us, you know? And it might not be up to your standards, but it's still nice. It's still something that they're doing. People don't appreciate anything anymore. You do something nice for them. I don't know why. I guess because I'm on the road all the time, but someone lets me in. Someone backs up in that big old semi when I'm turning. I give them a little wave and say thank you. But it drives me crazy, the people that I let in, the people that I'm nice to, and they don't even acknowledge me. Not even a little thank you. Well, you guys might say that's a little thing, Pete, and I know it's a little thing, but ungratefulness, it's a seed that seems like it's taken over in so many of our homes, so many of our families, so many of us at work. You know, there was a young lady that I know that went off to college, and when she came back home after her 1 or 2 years and she was still in college, she just came back home, and I'd heard she told her mom, when her mom was doing her laundry, "Thank you so much for doing my laundry. Because she realized when she was at college, Mom does a lot by doing her laundry. But how many today just take things for granted? We just take for granted the gifts, the things that people do for us. We're ungrateful, unholy. You know, you preach about holiness, you talk about holiness now, and well, then we're just judging people, and we don't know their walk with God, but the Bible says we're supposed to be holy without love. The true type of love is gone in so many people today. A true sense of love is gone. Unforgiving. Holding grudges, you know, not letting stuff go. Slanderous. Without self-control. I'm going to skip over that one real quick. Without self-control. You know, self-control in all areas of our life. We don't know what that is anymore. That's why our credit cards are maxed out. That's why our waistline is ever expanding. Because we have no self-control. We can't stop. Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, this guy this guy I work with, he is a wonderful person. He is one of the nicest guys I'd ever want to meet. He's a Christian. He's a black gentleman. He's a younger man. He's like 28, 29, and he's trying to make his millions in the world. And he asked me to watch this thing. He wanted to show me this thing on how to make all this money. And it was in the vacation industry. And he's trying to get me to buy in. And you get people. It's just a pyramid is basically what it was. But because I liked the guy so much, I went and met with him and watched his film and stuff. But it's amazing to me. They were showing statistics for the vacation industry and rentals and everything else. And from just 20 years ago and the billions and billions and billions of dollars that's spent on vacations now. You know what? I like going on vacation. I do. I'd go on 4 or 5 vacations a year if I could afford to. I like going on vacations, and so do the rest of us, but it's almost like we've become so much about the pleasure and the things of this world that we would rather go to the beach than love God. We would rather go to Colorado. We'd rather do all these other things, and God's way down on the list. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. So this is talking about the last times. You guys, I've preached on having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. I'm just going to say real quick, having a form of godliness is showing up to church every week and not ever changing. Denying its power. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And God wants to change your life. God wants to transform your life. And if you show up week after week and you're never changed and you're still living in that same old sin, then you're denying the power of God because the power of God wants deliverance out of that. Side note. Let's move on. So let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I'm sorry, this isn't how much God loves you this week. This isn't forget about your past, but this is important, church. I really believe this with all my heart that we are approaching the last days very, very quickly. And I might be dead and gone before it happens, but I don't know if our little ones that all went to the back will make it through their lifetime without this happening. Matthew 24, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, "Watch out so that no one deceives you." There it is again, deceiving, being distracted. "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." And so, when I was thinking about this, okay, here's just a few statistics. I'm like a statistic person, okay? Natural disasters, okay? Geophysical disasters include earthquakes, volcano, dry rock falls, landslides, and avalanches. Climate disasters are classified as floods, storms, tropical cyclones, local storms, heat waves, droughts, and wildfires. Basically, natural disasters is what I want to talk about. The Bible's, what did it say? These are the beginning, okay? In 1970, the average natural disaster that was reported was 78. 78. In 2004, this number jumped to 348. According to AccuWeather, since 1990, natural disasters have affected 217 million people every single year. From 1980 to 2009, there was an 80% increase in the growth of climate-related disasters. Y'all, that's some staggering statistics. This goes on to talk about the money, to talk about, you know, how much they all cost, the earthquakes. But this report, and I started to have a graph and have it all put up there, it just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing. And it says, contrary to popular belief, the sole cause of this increase is not attributed to global warming. You know, you guys might say it's global warming. I'm not here to talk about politics. Go home and Google it. There's so much information. I didn't want to bore y'all's brains out this morning. There's so much information every year. The natural disasters, they just keep going and going and going. What's the Bible say? This is the beginning. We need to look around. What does it describe what times are going to be like? What we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 3. You look around and that's how people have become. And you look at the charts, you look at natural disasters, and in the end times, I think we're living in it. I think we're getting close. Look at verse 9. It says, then Matthew 24, verse 9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. I didn't look up the statistics on that, but there's more people being killed today than ever before in the history of the world for their faith. We might not know it because we live in America, but around the world, there's more people being killed today for their faith than ever before. Put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. I talked to the youth Wednesday night about being hated. I thought a young man was going to be here today. Had a young man talk to me this week, and it's a place that I deliver to and pick up at. And he just began, and it made me feel good because it's been a while since I've really got to talk to somebody about the Lord. And he just said, man, I'm trying to live for God. And he said, everybody around here and the way that they were treating him, their goal is to get him drunk. Their goal is to make him say the F word. And he said, one day they just would not leave me alone. They kept badgering me. Just say it. Just say it. Just say it. And he said, you know what's sad is a lot of these guys claim they're Christians. And he's just so beat up. The world's going to hate us, y'all. They're going to hate what we stand for. Brother will betray brother. Verse 11, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You hear that? He who stands firm to the end will be saved. But we need to be careful that we're not distracted by life. We're not distracted by things. That we're standing firm. One of the things in King James that it reads here, verse 10 and 12 through 12, and it says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And when I read that, many will be offended. Is not everybody offended by everything today? You can't do nothing without offending someone. I was interviewing for a new job at work, and I didn't take it, didn't get it. One of the things that he told me, though, is you can't get on to employees anymore. So this is kind of nice for me to know as an employee. They can't get on to me no more. He said, you can't single out people anymore. You can't call them in and get on to them for their way that they're doing things because that's not politically correct and we might offend them. What? If someone's not doing a good job, someone's not doing the things they're supposed to be, you might offend them by saying, you need to do this. Everybody's offended by everything these days. You know, you post this or you say this and we're all offended. We're all, you know, got our feelings hurt. We're going to sue. We're going to get even. Everybody's so easily offended. That's what it'll be like in the last days. What are we living in? I mean, y'all judge for yourself. The statistics, everything that we're seeing in the Word of God, easily offended. Have we looked around? Have we looked around and seen what's taking place in society? You guys remember that story I told y'all? It was about a year ago. I can't remember if it was in Chicago or St. Louis or somewhere like that. And there was three or four black gentlemen that was at a Popeye's Chicken, I think is where it was, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they were a few bucks short for paying for their meal. And the man in line behind them offered to pay for what they were short. And they were offended and began to beat him. And it was all caught on camera. He was in critical condition by the time they got done with him. It was three or four on one. Because he offered to pay for their meal. What kind of world are we living in these days? But we're distracted with our ball games. We're distracted with our raises. We're distracted with church. We're distracted with our prayer meetings. We're distracted with our kids. We're distracted by everything. And there's a world dying. You know, the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your soul, heart, strength, mind, spirit, and to love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as it's describing love, it says, not easily angered, which is not easily offended. So, if everybody's offended by everything today, then that shows that for many, their love has grown cold. And what did we just read? That love is going to grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. We're so offended. Why? Because we don't love anybody anymore. Why? Because that's what it describes what it's going to be like in the end times. I'm going to finish up here. And we got a few verses to read. Matthew 24, verse 32, and it says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will not pass away, but my words will never pass away. Y'all, I'm telling you, I tried to condense this all down, and I'm skipping around and everything. But there's so many things in the Bible that talks about that we're not going to be surprised. I think it was in 1 Thessalonians 4 or 5 that it says we don't live in the dark. We don't need to be in fear. We don't need to fear what's taking place. But do we see the leaves coming out? Does that make sense? The fig tree, you can tell when it's about season. The leaves begin to come out. What's going on around us? Verse 36 says now, or no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So you guys are sitting here going, Pete, you just blew up your whole message. It just says right here, nobody knows. I don't know. I don't. I really don't. But I see the shape that the world is getting in. I see the shape that God's people are getting in. And the lack of love, the easily offended. And I just wonder, how much longer can this take place? Verse 37, as it was with the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Up to that day, Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other one left. Can I tell you something? This could be talking about the end times. This also could be talking about right now, this moment. How often is someone in a car accident? One person's killed, the other person's still there. How often is someone just fell over from a heart attack? How often it happens all the time, every day, every moment. This could be your day. This could be my day. We don't know. So it says, verse 32, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it. Are we distracted this morning with the cares, with the worries, with the things of this world, and we've lost sight of the calling upon our life to serve Jesus Christ? Are we distracted? Are we like Crystal trying to get in that wrong car? And we're distracted and we're being deceived and we're getting in the wrong vehicle, going down the wrong road, going down the wrong path. Church, it's time for us to open up our eyes. I've been preaching about how much God loves you 2 weeks ago. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. And last week I preached about putting the past in the past. I don't care what you did last week, last month, last year, last night. God can erase it. God can give you a new beginning today. But we need to open up our eyes to what's taking place, what's going on, and not be distracted by the cares of this life and understand that our moment could be up. Our time could be up. Who then is faithful and wise, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Who then is faithful? Therefore keep watch. All I can do is present what I feel like the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. I challenge you. Go home and study. Go home and read all of Matthew 24. But even if the Bible says no man knows what day, what time, what hour, even if the Lord tarries another 50 years, another 100 years, another 1,000 years, your time could be today. You know, the Bible says, teach us to number our days, O Lord. I heard a message in the last week or two about the guy having the countdown till, I don't remember, it's like 70 years old. And he had it broke down into hours and then to days, and it's pretty sobering. It was like if you're 45, you have something like 9,000 something days left. I don't remember. I'm probably not. Somebody had a calculator. They could probably figure it up real quick. But the numbers are staggering. And it was like 35 was like 15,000 or something. I don't know. But he said, you think about that in money terms and how quickly you can spend $15,000, how quickly you can spend $9,000. Teach us to number our days. Today, your day may be up. You might have 20 years left. You might have 50 years left. But the reality is, probably nobody in this room probably has more than 50, 60 years. How quick life goes. How quick life goes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, teach us to number our days and help us to not be distracted by the cares and the worries of this life. Help us to be focused upon you. Help us to not be led away by those deceiving spirits, by the Antichrist. Lord, help us to not, in the little things, Lord, how the enemy will lead us astray. Help us to guard our thoughts. Help us to guard our minds. Lord, help us to understand that, that time is running out and there's a lost and dying world around us that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be Your witnesses. Help us to be Your witnesses in our workplaces, in our homes, at school, wherever we go. Help us to be alert. To watch, to listen carefully to Your instructions, to be led solely by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would understand how much You love them, that You died on a cross for them, Lord, and that their past can be in the past. But Lord, help us to not be deceived with the pleasures of this life and forget that our actions today can impact eternity. Lord, I pray that every person in this room would be a believer, would be a disciple, would follow You. Lord, that we would not have to worry about when our time's up, that we would know that we were in Your hands, that we wouldn't have to fear that moment, Lord, whether it's in next week or 60, 70 years from now, Lord, that we would be walking in obedience to You, that we would be seeking Your face. Father, if there's any in here that have not been walking in obedience, if there's any in here that know that they've been living a life distracted by the cares of this world, I pray right now they'd repent, they'd ask for forgiveness, and that You'd begin to just fill them with Your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, teach us to truly number our days. Lord, and to see what's going on around us. To know that we have a job, that we have a task. May we do it to the best of our ability, led by Your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thessalonians 5 says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light in the day and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." If fear grips your heart, thinking about meeting the Lord, you might be in a good place. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But don't just sit there being full of fear. Cry out to God. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to transform your life. And then it says, "Perfect love driveth out all fear." God's perfect love driveth out all fear. So that we don't have to be afraid of what the future holds. For we know what the future holds. It's heaven if you're in Christ Jesus. We don't have to live in fear. And I don't want you to live in fear. And I pray that this message isn't about fear for you. Because you love the Lord and God loves you. It's just a message of don't be distracted. Look. See what's taking place. It's kind of almost exciting when you think about it. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. Can I just tell y'all the truth? I don't look forward to doing any of y'all's funeral. I love y'all. It's not fun to talk about people that you love that have passed on. And if the Lord tarries and I'm still here and someone leaves us and graduates into heaven and you want me to, I'll do it. But how much better would it be if right now we all just took off and we're called up together? It shouldn't instill fear when we know that we know Jesus. If you're full of fear this morning, be honest. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And His perfect love will cast out that fear. And then that relationship is born. And we don't have to be surprised. We're children of the light then. We don't live in darkness anymore. Y'all have a great afternoon. Enjoy your family. But seek God. Seek God. Don't be distracted. Seek God. Have a blessed day.